I just had to reshoot this intro because my mic was muted. I've always been concerned that I'm gonna like record one of these podcast episodes and then like it's not actually gonna be recorded or something, like it's gonna have happened halfway through and it's gonna be too late and I'm not gonna have noticed. Anyways, welcome back to Staked Podcasts, Decred, Dorks, Chads, Degens, however you identify, Stacey's. Yeah, this is a really dope episode. I was able to sit down with my boy Dub Digital. Many of you guys in the Decred community know Dub Digital for a video he released a couple weeks ago talking about Decred. That was the first time that I was introduced to Dub Digital. Went on his YouTube channel, really liked his content, learned a little bit from him, and decided that I wanted to have him on Staked Podcast to talk about Decred investing. Talk about James' path to crypto and what got him involved. And yeah, we really hit it off. Talked about some projects that we have in common that we're both invested in, and just sort of his philosophy about investing and how he thinks about it. And you're really going to enjoy this podcast. I'm certain of that. I'm making this video, this intro, 4 days after I recorded the episode with Dub Digital. Because we recorded on Monday, and usually I have about a 2 day turnaround time. But I woke up Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. to record an episode at 4 a.m. But I woke up and I had 103 degree temperature, so I wasn't able to do that. I was feeling very, very sick. Turns out that I'm COVID positive, so really leaving 2020 in a bang. I found that out yesterday. Feeling a lot better now. The last 4 days or 3 days or so, I've been feeling really, really sick, and I want to apologize that this episode's getting released much later than I would have originally anticipated. But the show must go on. Oh yeah, also look forward to that episode. Trying to reschedule it. Actually, trying to reschedule it right now, and me and Decred Society have hopefully are going to be able to sit down together very shortly. But we are on dcrdata.decred.org at proposed block 506,083. The current ticket price of Decred is 153.49, and the voting reward is 0.82 Decred. 51.08% of all circulating Decred is locked up currently. The total coin supply is 12,299,667. And the hash rate is at 340.78 petahashes. With the current exchange rate of Decred sitting at a nice $20.89. This is the price that Decred was at, around the price whenever I first got involved in the project. So I love buying Decred at $20. It's that's a great buy, and yeah, things are looking very, very good in terms of USD price. But let's continue to hope for some more of that sort of movement, positive. Anyways. What else needs to be said before I end this intro? Oh yes, make sure that you leave Adam tips. We are completely donor-driven here at Stake Podcast. Even 0.1 DCR goes a very long way. The donation address is in the description, however you're watching this. And make sure you share, rate, like, subscribe, comment, downvote, whatever you want to do. Just keep the engagement up because it really helps the algorithms. We're trying to grow as much as we can here at Stake Podcast, and it really means a lot. And it's free. It costs you nothing. So thank you guys, and hope you enjoy this episode. Stay staked. Okay, it's recording. I had a couple technical difficulties getting to this point. That's why I'm on the laptop. For those of you guys who are watching on YouTube, might look a little bit different, but
I have a very special guest on Staked Podcast today. Many of you guys know him in the Decred community for a video he posted about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Dub Digital, welcome to Staked.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. That video is actually, it's funny. It was a response for someone who just followed my work and said, hey, cover DCR. And said, yeah, why not? And that happened to be a very good day. I just picked to post that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like just because the thing is, there's so many cryptos, man. It's hard to keep a pulse on all of them. So if you're not like, you know, getting suggestions, hey, look at this coin, look at that coin, it's easier to fall in love with the coin, right? So shout out to my Twitter homies on, you know, DCR army out there.
Yeah,
throwing that suggestion out, it worked out pretty well.
How would you say that video did in terms of some of your comparable videos in terms of engagement, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, engagement, it was pretty good. It's a strong showing for sure. But you know, like the way I approach crypto as making content for it, there's a bunch of communities out there, right? And people who are OG to crypto know that it's the community that carries the coin, man. You know, so I approach my content in that way. So a lot of my videos are kind of duds in that sense, because I like the project, but the community either has rage quit, because that's where we're at, you know?
Yeah.
And but I really get amped up when I find a community that's like diehard about it, even when it's like looking like there's no hope, right?
For sure. What's been one of the biggest surprises, community-wise?
Biggest surprises, well, Decred, because okay. I knew about Decred, but I mean, you guys caught a lot of flack, right? When you came coming out, mm-hmm. end of the bull run.
Definitely. It's been brutal.
Yeah. So I look at, I like Decred, WanChain for sure.
Yes. I watched your video on that today.
Yeah. Didn't know they had a diehard community like that. We have Swipe, XSP, but you see that the newer coins coming out, a lot of the people haven't been through the cycle before. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're like, what's going on? You said this. It's like, hey guys, like you'll see in time if you stick around and pay attention, you know?
Dude, so, I'm glad you said that. I got to interrupt because that is one thing I really noticed, you know, when your video came out. I went through your content and it's very high quality in terms of what you're putting out, how you're putting it out, when you're putting it out, the, you know, thought and analysis. It's very high quality. And that's why I followed and wanted to get you on, because I think I can learn something from you and my community can learn something from you. And so I definitely want to talk about, you know, different cryptos and some of your thoughts and theses and musings in the space. But before we do that, mm-hmm. tell everyone a little bit more about James. I don't know if I'm supposed to say your name out loud.
All good, man. You know, it's all good. I'm pretty public right now.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
So a little bit about James is I really got in. I'll start with crypto. Well, actually, I'll start with my professional background, because it kind of ties into how my content sets me apart, I believe, from other people. So I've pretty much had a professional career for the last 7 years in aerospace, supply chain management. I've worked for some big defense companies, Northrop Grumman being one of them, Aerojet Rocketdyne, which is like the company that built like the space shuttles and stuff. And I was pretty much tasked with like, you know, bringing in product and stuff like that for supply chain reasons. And because of that, like those companies, when you get into big blue chip companies like that, they kind of like stretch you mentally to like, okay, you're not just the supply chain guy though. You're like half finance, you know, and then you're half like forecasting and resource planning and so on and so forth. And being in that kind of environment has really led me to think more strategically in terms of, okay, in phases, right? Because I feel people who aren't like very used to that kind of corporate world think, oh, everything happens in one big shot, you know, shoots up quick, comes down quick, easy, simple, but no, it's like phases, right? Accumulation, capitulation, disbelief. You know, you start to see like, okay, step back, things happen in processes, large, big changes, macro changes and events happen over long spans of time. You know, so basically while I was there at my aerospace jobs, I just couldn't get enough of YouTube, man. Because when I got the taste of crypto in 2017, it was just like, insane. That was the first cycle I was aware of what was happening, right?
I get you.
Yeah, because 2013, I picked up my first BTC, but like that thing sat in my closet on a CD. I half forgot my password, had to get a homie to crack the code for me. It was like, I didn't respect the asset like I should have. And like everyone says, oh, you know, you got in 2013, like you must be rolling in it. Well, yeah, man, but like hindsight's 2020, you know? No one buys as much as they wanted to right away.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, I got more and more involved, learning. And then I pretty much got wrecked, like bad.
Yeah.
Like 2017.
So going into 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Did you make a lot of money on that way up though? Were you able to sell and take some profits?
Well, see, here's the thing. And this is why I decided to make a channel. It's because a lot of the YouTubers, I'm not here to put anyone down, but a lot of YouTubers only focus on the positive. You know, they don't go over the risk involved. I didn't take barely much any profits, mainly because it's like, oh, it's going to go a little harder, a little higher. You know, and that's when I really learned from experience that like bears make money, bulls make money, pigs get slaughtered, you know?
I like that. I've never actually heard that one, but.
Yes. So like I'd never, ever do that again, but I recognize within myself, hey man, I gotta be smarter, man.
For like, sure.
We have opportunity, but you gotta capitalize. So.
And investing really is, you know, kind of a game of chess is how I like to describe it. And learning from your mistakes. That's why it's so, to me, I get excited when I see young people, like, I don't know if you saw recently, Pomp had like some 12-year-old on his podcast. And it's just like, you know, those kids are going to learn so much as long as they just keep getting better and keep getting better. But I want to go back because as I've watched a number of your videos now, one thing that I like is that you do zoom out. You do talk about the positives, the negatives, you know, you try to give a holistic approach. Like I really liked your analysis of Decentraland, how you talked about the price action and the psychology of people during that time. You know, I thought that was a very good insight. And I even learned something just in the videos I watched. You know, I didn't know decreasing price, decreasing volume, right? And I didn't understand some of those things. You clearly have a technical background. I'm assuming an engineer, correct?
No, business.
Okay. I would have guessed that you were, I mean, mathematically inclined from your knowledge of fractals and charts. How do you describe yourself as, I forget exactly the phrasing. It's like crypto something, macro trends. What is the quote?
Crypto news, macro trends.
There it is. How did you start considering yourself a macro thinker? Where did that begin and where can you like draw, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Like I've never been in the weeds at all, you know, and that's like a lot of people's like gripe on me, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, you're always like thinking big picture. You're always out there in years past. What about like today, you know? And I really was like, but what does it matter if it's going to go to the ultimate destination? That's how I've always thought about pretty much everything, especially investing. And it's funny, like as you like, I'm self-taught in like this technical analysis stuff, fundamental analysis stuff. So
as
like
all the greats, as all the greats are, I'd like to put out.
Yeah. Yeah. And guys, just FYI, like you can go to a trading school, investing school, whatever, but like you're never going to be the best by copying somebody. You're always going to be the second best. At best, you could always be the second best, you know? So if you're an in and out sniper trader, that's what makes you understand, then do that. Just play to your strengths always, you know? So like when I understood that, like, oh, the way I invest, there's something called macro investing. I didn't know that. I just thought that like, I don't know, long-term thinking. But yeah. Then I found out, oh, Rao Paul, like there's actually like a Druckenmiller.
This is a whole like system of thinking and like way of like investing.
Yeah, Druckenmiller, you know, just big macro guys.
Moorhead, Novogratz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny because I think we grew up in that era where it was like Warren Buffett was idealized. So the only thing we really heard about is value investing, at least myself personally. And mm-hmm. So to learn that there's this like whole idea of global thinking and putting together the pieces of the world jigsaw puzzle, you know, that's something that's been very new and exciting to me. And I assume for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. And, as far as like value investing is concerned, you know, I do consider myself more on the pendulum of value investing.
Okay.
Because, you know, they talk about the pendulum, it swings both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone's in a momentum and growth. That's because when the stock market goes up continually, people just think that's what it does. Not necessarily. And at some point, the pendulum might swing back this way.
Yeah.
If it ever comes back to value, guess what's under value? Value plays. Like, you know, so like yeah. In terms of that, I'm more of contrarian because like, yeah, I could jump into like a crypto that's going up to the sky, but like, I want to hold this thing. I don't want to be so involved, you know? So like, yeah, I really harp on people. Hey, like, do your FA or fundamental analysis, because no one does that. There's a bunch of channels who just focus on TA.
Yeah.
But what happens if it gets scary for you? What happens if DCR drops down to cents? You don't know what's going on if you're not following the developments. For you sure. Might drop that thing, you know? So I really harp that.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your FA looks like in this space?
Yeah, so I pretty much go out into, like, if I'm trying to determine a trend, I go on out on the weekly, right? And then, because we can go out on the monthly, but that's like year plays. I know crypto is cyclical. I know that already. I'm more in terms of like what's going to happen in the next 3 months to a year. And that's like what my basic like positions look like. Except it was this bear market I've been holding out for years, but that's not what I want to do. And that's, yeah. I'm smarter now, right?
You're looking for that. That's about your investment time frame sweet spot.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, I mean, like, you know, I get comments saying, is it going to drop down to this or that? It's like, hey guys, in a fiat based economy where money's printed, there's going to be an increase of monetary supply. That means the swings generally randomized, but drifting upwards. You know, if you look at the Dow Jones or anything like that, it drops down like so drastically, but it always drifts upwards. Like, you know, so just based off that, and we know that there's continued money printing in the space, limited assets should go up. I mean, it's a pretty simple concept. It's really simple, but sometimes you don't got to be a genius about it.
Are there any assets that you like for longer time horizons, you know, 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years. I mean, crypto is very cyclical, right? So crypto is probably going to gain, not financial advice, always say that, but it's probably going to gain in terms of other commodities right off the bat. But when it starts peaking out, that's when you need to look to jump ship into something that's going to save value better, right? Because crypto in the long term, maybe after 2030, might hold that value. But right now, no one knows what's going on. So like big money's rushing over here. Okay, cool. I'm moving over here. And it's constantly moving. It's not great for smaller sharks, right? Because we don't have the capital to just cover the whole playing field and just benefit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at, you know, obviously precious metals maybe to diversify into to keep some of those gains. Just something, anything to be like, I mean, land, obviously. Anything where there's a limited supply, just like crypto, you know, it's finite and there's always going to be a demand. I mean, commodities, corn, wheat, those are things. Yeah. You know, farmers are going to become more profitable in the future because they have food, which we don't like really value now, but that's limited.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah. You know? No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I also share a very big bull farm thesis. So I thought that was my Oklahoma influence, but I'm glad to hear you share that as well. I want to start thinking about, you know, I want to talk about growing a small portfolio. You talked about, you know, big money doing this and you know, kind of being a minnow in a big pond or whatever the analogy was. How do you think about strategy in terms of growing a small, modest, honest sum of money and trying to, you know, grow that bigger?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, start with the basics, right? Like on my path to like doing what I do now, obviously you have to master addition, subtraction. Okay. Got to make more money than you're spending. Got to, because then you don't have any investable capital. If you don't have investable capital, you can't take opportunities seriously. You can't take advantage of them. Right. So number one, limit your expenses. Once you do that, you got to start looking for areas of opportunity within the economy where you could put that excess capital, you know. Not going to tell you that crypto at this point, you know, is a good or bad thing. That's up to you. But I mean, I'm going to tell you I have a big part of my net worth in crypto. You know, crypto is aggressive gains, but also is aggressive losses. We all know that though, you know. But after that, like, don't go all in with your capital. Like, learn to be like modest until you gain the skills to like be more aggressive and make big plays. Because if you don't, like, You save up all this money and it goes away and then you got to start all over and you might not want
to
do it again.
Yeah, you might not have the balls to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I unfortunately, it's happened to one too many. I want to transition. This isn't the smoothest transition, but I heard in one of your videos you talked about gaming. And I want to hear a little bit more about, you know, your experience growing up with gaming and how that's influenced how you think about the world and investing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I have a long history with gaming, not necessarily the most competitive, right? But I saw the internet come into online. Internet used to be a weird thing, guys. If you're very young, internet used to make noises when you try to dial in. I'm looking at it, it's like it's screeching at me. Like, this is weird, you know? But I started playing StarCraft online.
That was your first game?
Yeah, and that was cool because I used to just play online games and it wasn't multiplayer though. Not online games, but they weren't multiplayer. But once the human component came in, I got really excited because I was like, oh, this is like chess. Okay. Because like computer always beat me and that's cool. Like it's a computer, you know, but there's something that I'm a very competitive person. So when I can play against someone, that does it for me. Right. So then later on, I applied for Riot Games, which is a League of Legends like place down in a SoCal. I'm in SoCal.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that point I was like, I got to change my career because like the aerospace thing wasn't doing it for me. Just okay. Not.
So you're actually in the gaming space now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not at Riot right
now. Okay. I missed.
Didn't work out. But that's when I really found out and saw like, oh dang, like South Korea's like that. It's like stadiums.
Yeah.
And that just kind of like opened my mind to like, oh,
where this is going.
How can I get
in that industry? I think that the biggest sports by 2030, maybe that's too early, maybe 2040 is going to be probably video games, soccer, and basketball. That's my guess, nationally, in that order. Very, very, very cool. I just wanted to hear some of your thoughts about that. You also mentioned, and I also knew that you were self-taught TA. What can you tell us a little bit about that process? Maybe recommend some books and just kind of talk about your philosophy and how you think about TA.
Yeah. So self-taught TA is like the hardest learned lessons, guys. Because everything I'm telling you is like I have losses because of that, you know. Held it, so it wasn't a loss, but like it was like, okay, trend line, you need to understand trend lines because that thing just dropped from under me. You need to understand the Fibonacci like levels because like I have no idea where to pull my profit. So like everything I'm telling you is what I think is the best way to do it based on my pretty much messed ups. But in terms of like learning material, I'm big on to like reading, like big into reading. But actually I don't read very well. I do audiobooks and stuff.
Okay.
And because I was driving down to Northrop Grumman, it was a 2-hour each way drive. And I had so much time to just listen to audiobooks. I went through like 70 audiobooks in like 1 year on like business and investing and that kind of stuff. So as far as like content creators, I'll give you guys like YouTubers that I've followed for like technical analysis. I like DIY investing. He's cool. You know, I'm not down with all the coins he proposes, but I like his message. And I like how he kind of approaches it the way I do is like, okay, look at this fractal. This is what happened last time. I scaled it up. It's bigger, huh? Based on like investing over long periods of time macroly. So then also I look at, what's his name? Francis Hunt on the Sniper, Crypto Sniper, Market Sniper. I just look at people who talk about pretty simple things, right? His whole thing is a triangle breakout. You know, triangles are consolidation, accumulation. Then there's going to be a breakout up or down based on what you're seeing in volume, so on and so forth. So check his channel out. I watch Crypto Mikael, or I think he's messing up his name, but Crypto Mikael is pretty cool. He goes over a wide breadth of coins. And I like the guys who don't get too fancy, man.
Yeah,
I don't like all these RSI, like that's more momentum. Yeah. That's more like growth stuff. And that's not my bag of tea.
I get you.
I look at what's undervalued. I throw some money in it. It's probably going to go up, you know?
Yeah, no, I like I said, I very much am a fan of your process. Just having watched a number of your videos, I want to talk about some protocols in specific. Some of these are protocols. Some of these are tokens. I guess because this is a Decred podcast, it's probably best to start with Decred. You know, just brutal honest, you know, you're not hurting any feelings here. Mm-hmm. Really like that video. What do you think of Decred? How do you feel about its role in the space at large?
Sure. So the way I have just attack like questions like that is I look at it in terms of different realities that could play out, right? I could see a future where Bitcoin just does it. Everything else dies. Okay. That's what everyone's been saying for the longest time with the maximalist and everything, right? Then I could see a situation where, oh, Bitcoin mining centralized in China. US doesn't like that. So and so country doesn't like that. They also need then a new sound reserve coin, you know, limited in supply, doesn't have billions of it, you know, not susceptible to forks because I can't see any country that would like a fork.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's when like Monero, Decred, these other not really acknowledged as sound money coins because mm-hmm. Bitcoiners would never want you to say that, but they are. I don't know why they couldn't be.
Yeah, right? Definitely cypherpunk roots.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Bitcoin just protocol. It likes it gets this and that, but every you know other coins are mined and they are protocol. It's really a game of confidence. So if in that way, where the world really decentralizes, we could see more than one reserve coin. You know, so in terms of that, Decred is obviously one of those. I like the fact that it can't be forked. I hate forks, man. I was around for the Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin fork. Bro, that was a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
A mess, you know? So I like the way that Decred has been saying, hey, we're not going to do that with our community. You know, the stronger you can keep them close-knit, the more power you have in terms of, like, an asset.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously speak very highly of Decred on this podcast. And like you said, I think one thing you're really getting there towards is, you know, the longevity of the project.
Yeah.
And sort of the cohesive, you know, beginning to end sort of thinking. I want to jump to some other projects because a couple of things that we have in common in terms of invest. Well, I'm assuming many of these videos you've made investments in. Probably yeah. The second biggest one that I have is Decentraland. You want to tell us a little bit about, you know, what you think about Decentraland, how you found out about it, where you think it's going and kind of, you know, what's your general thesis, if you will.
For sure. So I stumbled across Decentraland like last year. And at that point, there was like, I jumped in this, the world, I was looking around, I was like, there's nothing in here, man. You know, but then I signed in this year and I said, oh, there's a lot of stuff in here. And they're happening like contests and stuff. The way I see and the use case I see for Decentraland is obviously like digital real estate. I keep saying that, digital real estate, just to help like the mind grasp what this is. You know, a lot of people I tell about Decentraland go, this is fake. Like what? It's not even land, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, because you're not participating in the digital economy. But imagine a piece of land where everyone in the world could visit. Talk about the foot traffic, right? Talk about the advertising opportunities, right? Like me being a crypto YouTuber, it would make sense for me to buy a plot by Crypto Valley, right? You know, this is the kind of stuff that people don't think of. Like as terms as a pure asset appreciation investment, okay, but it's more than that, you know, and NFTs are one of those things where it's like, you can't split the asset up into a million pieces.
Yeah.
There's only what was made. And when that's gone, think of the price squeeze that could happen, you know? So I look at it like getting a McDonald's franchise early on. It could, yeah, there's always risk in an investment, but by the time there's no risk, there's no chance to make any money. That's the rub.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely a very VC type of a bet, if you will. I completely agree with, you know, what you were saying just about how the trends are going and digital land and digital real estate. I wonder how you think about, so this is something I think about as we move more towards a digital first future. What do you think about sort of crypto as a status symbol, if you will? Because I personally, what I think is I imagine a future where, you know, my little kids or my grandkids are, they're playing around in some, maybe it's Central Land, maybe it's a different world, but there are people whose parents own plots of land in those worlds and you know, have whether different things from the first year of the game's existence and different items and different rareables. And we clearly know that from Fortnite and RuneScape and these type of games that, I mean, Pokemon recently, what was it, Pokemon? Digital items have value. And yeah. I think that kind of there's going to be my, you know, sort of moon boy, I guess, however you want to, cosmic outlook is that I do think that a lot of these things are going to be, becomes sort of like status symbols.
Yeah, well, it's essentially the value layer of the internet, right? So you're essentially owning a portion of the internet. How useful is the internet? And I totally agree with you. In terms of the protocol you own, I mean, it might do this and that. But yeah, I believe it's going to be, hey, the people who like have big bags are going to have certain coins. The other coins will be for people that probably the supply will inflate just like today. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like pretty much commodities, limited assets and unlimited assets, just like the traditional bank system set up right now.
How do you think about the different assets within the space? So for example, I kind of see it very similar to Chris Berninski's book, Crypto Assets. I don't know if you've read that, but
No,
sort of like digital commodities, digital monies, and then sort of, I guess, like, do you have some sort of framework that you work within in terms of thinking about these assets?
It's hard, right? You're talking about like subsets mm-hmm. of the different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've thought of that. Right. And we don't really have a very defined what the crypto economy is. Yeah. There's coins and Bitcoin does this and Litecoin does that and Decred does this, but I mean, we don't have words for them, you know.
We don't have robust systems of valuation. We don't have ways to think about, you know, some of the same metrics that have been used traditionally on Wall Street, you know, to think mm-hmm. about valuations.
Yeah, but we start seeing some of it, right? We saw the stablecoin thing. Stablecoins have been a way bigger, I guess you'd say, cohesion or glue to the crypto economy than anyone ever thought.
Yeah, definitely. Because
a couple years ago, people were saying stablecoins suck. Why would I ever buy a stablecoin? But it's like, hey, that's what's allowed by the authorities that be right now. In order to actually like do business, you got to have some kind of stable coin.
Yeah.
In order to hold on to some of your value at some time, stable coins actually go up in value when there's liquidity crunches. Like, you know,
yeah,
like the dollar gains in value. Like there's certain times when you want to be in a stable coin.
For sure.
You know, but like, that's just an example of one of them. We have these NFTs. But there's going to be subsets of NFTs. You know, we have store of value coins like Bitcoin, but there's going to be subsets of that, which Decred might be one of them. You know, it's just hard to tell because things will go away. New coins will be made. New innovations will be made. But in terms of subsets that I'm excited about, I really like, you know, for this upcoming bull run, I like DeFi, mm-hmm. you know? Because just as an investment opportunity, that's what the world needs.
DeFi in particular. So I asked this, I guess, the way I think about it is there's kind of two different segments of DeFi. You have KYC DeFi and non-KYC DeFi. And mm-hmm. personally, I prefer the non-KYC DeFi projects long-term. What do you think about that?
So yeah, different time horizons, right, of an investment. Mm-hmm. I think KYC right now is going to be where it's at. Is more embraced.
Yeah, compound but maker.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you.
Yeah.
But look, separate your investments over time horizons. Like
that's
something might pop up in the future, but not necessarily right now.
Yeah, personally, I invest. I won't put my money in something that I'll have to take out within 5 years. Just personally, because I know I'll never be able to time it, but I know that if I put my money in, I won't put my money in unless I'm certain that money is going to be more or at least the same in 5 years.
For sure. For sure. And then just think of kind of like what kind of world, like that's what I like to do. What kind of world would this thing flourish in? Mm-hmm. Decentralized finance, like real decentralized finance, that's flourishing only if governments are like, have no say in anything.
Yeah. Fair enough.
They're going to fight, man. They're going to fight.
They will. Now, Andreas Antonopoulos, he talked about this in 2018 or 19. It was this video and like, it was almost an omen. And I just was like, I think we're coming to that moment, honestly, that moment where Ethereum's really actually going to have maybe a bifurcation, maybe a fork based off of these KYCs. And, only time will tell, but I do think that a lot of these discussions are going to come to head within the Ethereum community. That is a great segue into interoperability and, you know, some of the, you know, I guess Gen 3 blockchains, if you will. Particularly, you and I, we share Polkadot in common. So I'd love to hear you talk about that project and what you think.
Yeah, I got really attracted to Polkadot because everything I have is like an investment thesis, guys. Like, I don't ever sit on a coin and say this is the best. Like, I see value in everything because of the interoperability that's going to happen. Like, I think there's going to be a whole ecosystem of coins that connect to each other.
Agreed.
And value flows seamlessly.
Agreed.
Right? Polkadot's like the layer zero. Okay? It's like, you know, that substrates are built out of. And that's what really is going to help with like corporate clientele. I'm always looking like big companies. How are they going to be able to connect to this thing? And before you got to get like a blockchain engineer, build your own chain. It's going to suck. No one's going to know about it. You got to build your own traction. That's not what corporate clients want to do. They're not in the business of like attract building their own tech. That's for tech people. And yeah. I come from a very corporate background.
How has that influenced your investment and your thinking?
Well, if there's too much work involved, if the user experience sucks, like, no, I'm not dipping my toe into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hedgic is probably something that's out of.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying it's not going to work.
Yeah, I get you. But you're just saying the usability is a big aspect.
Yeah, because like I play off my strengths, right? I understand how big companies think, mm-hmm. you know? So therefore, that's where my edge is.
I get you.
You know what I'm saying? So sure. Like, I hear that like, you know, Polkadot is somewhat technically challenging, but that's not the end goal. Like, I understand projects develop over time. But whenever I hear a coin saying like, we're going to like flip this or not play... If they're not going to play nice, man, I'm not interested. I want to see how they're going to use atomic swaps.
Yeah.
So they could just go back and forth between, they're not trying to beat Bitcoin.
For sure.
They're trying to work with it.
I like what you say, because it was one thing I found very attractive about the Decred community when I first kind of fell down the rabbit hole, was that I felt there was a genuine acceptance, you know, even from kind of, I guess, the key figures, if you will, of, you know, embracing and just staying in your lane and being a hard worker on your project, but like understanding that this future is multifaceted, you know, then there's going to be more than one winner. We can all win. We can all, you know, Ivan on Tech, he put out a tweet today. He's like, Bitcoin's up, Ethereum's up, Ripple's up. We can all play nice together. And I was like, that's so nice.
Yeah.
But
for real, man. And I, sorry to cut you off, but
no.
Hey guys, we're all in crypto. I'm pretty sure we all go through the same thing with our friends and family where they don't believe us. Like, we're all fighting the same fight. I don't care what you call your coin.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ethos, you know?
Well, can you talk about, fighting that fight? Because that's something, as I've kind of become a little bit more public with amongst my friends, putting myself out there, you know, talk about your experience and you know, maybe some words of encouragement in terms of fighting the grain and being an independent thinker and not giving a fuck.
Yeah, man. Well, it really comes down to like one quote. In order to get something that you've never had before, you got to do something you've never done before, you know, and that might mean no one agreeing with you or backing you, you know, but that really says a lot about you, right? And I was the same way. We all go through the same process, but it's like, I really believe in Bitcoin, but like my cousin doesn't. But why am I letting my cousin influence what I think? Like, you know, if I do my research and I do, and I agree on the asset and I do, then why can't I back it like I want to? You know, and that's really what the bear markets are for, guys.
100% about learning.
About learning.
It's the fucking best time, honestly. Yeah. I love it. Now that I've gone through one, I'm like, I'm ready for this bull market to be over. Not really, but you feel me.
I don't know about all that. I want that to keep going.
I need this to keep going a little longer. You're right.
but you know that the thing is, man, I like the followers I'm gaining in the bear market in accumulation before it pops off.
100%.
You know, because that's the people who get it. I don't got to teach you guys. You know how it is. You're going through it.
Yeah.
It's the people who come on at the end, and I love all my subscribers, but that's why I don't really push like, you know, pumpamentals and all that.
I feel you.
I try to keep them level headed.
Quality, and you're going to attract, you know, exactly what you put out into the world.
Exactly. So like, that's why I also keep it kind of like, I keep some of the terminology I use in my previous business life the way it is, because I also want to attract people who want to learn more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because yeah, that's really what it is, guys, that you only lose if you stop learning.
100%. And I think the best thing about the internet is that the smartest people in the world, they're on here, and you just got to go find them. You got to go find them. They're not in universities. They're not in schools. They're on the internet. I want to transition now into thinking about some of your more, you know, global macro, the way you think the world is working, demographics, trends you're noticing. You know, you mentioned commodities and real estate, hard assets over, I guess, maybe compared to some of the like, tech. Are there any countries you like? Are there any nascent industries? Recently, I started kind of doing a little bit of dip my toe research into psychedelics after the recent Oregon election. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about? What interests you outside of crypto?
Well, see, like I brought up land before, because I would say real estate, you know, the whole thing, like cash flow real estate. But I think houses might be overvalued, land undervalued.
100%. 100%.
You know, also like just anything that generates you an asset. I mean, the ground generates you an asset. It rains, you know, like just it's really going back like to basics, guys. I think that the world has gotten so complicated. So paper assets.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares about the real stuff.
So rehypothecation.
Yeah, like so everyone wants to collect money, right? Paper money to buy real things, but real things have never been like lower. If you keep collecting paper money, maybe that loses value against the real things. And that's what I think is coming. So in terms of like, sorry about that. Sorry, in terms of like countries, I mean, Mexico. I like Mexico because they have a big like silver deposits. They're the biggest silver mining country in the world.
Are you a shareholder of AG?
No, I'm not. I was looking at First Majestic because they're down there, right? They have a lot of deposits down there.
Yeah, that's AG. I couldn't think of the name. I only know the ticker, but you're right.
No worries. Yeah, First Majestic's cool. But see, that's not my power though.
Yeah.
I say play to your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my power.
I get you.
Like I would defer to other people, like, you know, David Morgan has a cool newsletter where he goes over like junior miners, mid miners, stuff like that.
What was the name?
David Morgan.
Is he on YouTube?
Yeah, he's like the silver guru.
I have to check him out. I don't think I might. Oh, I do actually know him. I do know exactly what you're talking about.
Mike Maloney. I read his book, Investing in Gold and Silver. That's awesome. There's people that I've deemed authorities for myself.
That's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like my power is crypto.
I get you.
You know, so like while crypto's popping, which I think that's coming up, I'm going to
ride that wave.
And then figure out what I'm going to do with it later. That's a good problem, though, in my opinion.
100%.
Like, you know, I'm still learning, guys. Like, that's one thing. Like, I'm never going to admit to you that I'm always right, because I'm definitely not.
Yeah, you know? I really, really, really like thinking about real estate. So I'm a real estate agent. I got licensed in July. I like thinking about real estate prices and Bitcoin over the next 10, 15 years. It gets me very, very excited. You started talking about books. One thing you started talking about, it reminded me of The Sovereign Individual. Have you read that?
I have not.
What books are you reading or have you read or would you recommend for people to think about investing?
Yeah, man. So I started off with Think and Grow Rich, like kind of like esoteric stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jim Rohn, have you ever heard of him?
He's kind of a motivational guy. More,
yeah, but he talks about basically like the ethics of business, what makes like how you basically get people to trust you, like gain like real connections, and how to just be viable in business.
I'll have to check him out.
Like, yeah, you like I learned like a lot of that stuff up front, and like Robert Kiyosaki, I read all his books, you know, Cash Flow Quadrant, all that stuff that got my mind like thinking in terms of like working for assets instead of money.
I get you.
Like, you know, and I think there's definitely like a foundation you got to lay. Like you gotta start with your mental first, guys. Because if you're not there, you're not gonna hold on to your money, even if you get it.
It's funny you say that because I've literally been thinking about, you know, I'm trying to spread this crypto message, if you will, Bitcoin message is really what I'm trying to spread. And I realized that, like, man, I can't even spread that unless you talk about financial literacy. And like you said, think and grow rich, rich dad, poor dad, you know, mindset, thinking in terms of cash flow, thinking in terms of being an equity holder, you know, these financial literacy, especially here in Oklahoma, man, something I'm extremely passionate about. And that was a random tangent. I like those book suggestions. I think that will kind of answer that question. And I want to turn now to Twitter as we get here towards the end of the hour. I want to, if I can find my tweet, give me 1 second.
Yeah, no worries.
Damn, I tweet a lot. Okay, here we go. This one comes from Andy at Trade Ferrer. How much do you bench press? And what's your opinion on DeFi?
In my heyday, man, around 300. And right now, I have no idea. Gyms are closed.
Wait, so okay. Is there a story here? Are you a big gym buff?
I used to be. I used to be all. So, like, guys, I go hard in everything I do, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I play collegiate basketball for a little bit. I've done sports all my life. It's like,
where'd you play, if you don't mind me asking?
What are your college? It's like a D3.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah. So like I quit because I was riding the bench and I was like, this is bull. I might as well make money.
I feel
and
you.
And then I did that. But like, what was the second part of the question?
Sorry. What's your opinion on DeFi? You kind of already touched on that, but if you want to answer it again.
DeFi, guys, there's always like a catalyst to a bull run. It used to be the ICO craze back in 2017. I would say those ICOs collapsed like crazy, but they went up like crazy. I think DeFi might be the next ICO craze.
Yeah.
Okay. DeFi has some utility. You know, the world is starving for yield. People can't get like any kind of return on their investments. So they turn to DeFi for like yield farming, stuff like that. You can ride it up as long as you get, deleverage yourself from that risk. You know, because I don't know if DeFi is like going to stay up there forever. For sure. I think it'll go higher.
Yeah.
You know,
if you have to weigh the probabilities, you know, as we think about this upcoming bull market, how do you kind of see it playing out in your imagination? I'll start with sharing my kind of thoughts.
Sure.
I used to think that it was going to be finally the quality projects were going to shine through Decred, you know, Decentraland, some of the other ones. Numere, I think, is a quality project. It seems to me like we're going to just have another kind of finanzi, if you will, with PayPal jumping in. It's kind of disheartening to see, you know, some of the projects that they're listing. But I'm starting to think that actually this bull run is going, the narrative is going to be Ethereum and DeFi, like you're saying. I think DeFi will kind of charge that narrative, but Ethereum will be the asset that benefits from that. Of course, it'll be led by Bitcoin, in my opinion. But yeah, how do you think about this upcoming market bull cycle?
See, like, I see it a little differently in terms of Ethereum, right? I think Ethereum's like the king altcoin, right? I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah.
It's like huge.
For sure.
Coins definitely built on it. But I think most of DeFi is already locked up in Ethereum. Like, you know, there's other ones. Bitcoin has a little DeFi. Then we have like Wanchain trying to bridge all the DeFis, being the hub for DeFi.
Mm-hmm.
I see CZ and Binance doing his own DeFi thing.
Yeah, like Cream. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that
Sun, you know, like there's a bunch of them.
Right,
I think it's going to start proliferating out.
Fragmenting.
Interesting. Yeah, because if you look at like what, like I like to line up like physics laws with like other things in life, right?
Okay.
Like diffusing, right?
Yeah. Say a little more.
Yeah, so like when there's like a concentration of capital, let's just say it's capital, concentration anything, it's in like a ball, but there's area around it that's not as saturated, it starts diffusing out, proliferating out,
mm-hmm.
You know. So if I see though, CZ's like blowing up his DeFi protocols with crazy percentage like returns, like as long as there's an incentive for people to move their capital, they're gonna move their capital.
They'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
especially with the gas fees, man.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but you're 100% correct. CZ, definitely an entrepreneur amongst entrepreneurs. I highly respect him here on Steak Podcast personally. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you this kind of, okay, two questions, and then we're going to get back to the Twitter questions because I do want to ask you about one more coin, Ohm. I like Ohm. Tell me what you think about Ohm.
So Ohm, I found out about Ohm really through Kyle Chassé. You know who Kyle Chassé is? He's like one of
I don't.
Okay, he's on YouTube, and he's like a early investor in Circle and Bitcoin and all that. And he's talking about Ohm because I think he lives out there in Asia somewhere. And he's saying how this is like the hottest coin. I was like, I got to check this out. You know,
Kyle Chassé.
Yeah. Really cool guy. And basically, Ohm is very interesting. It's obviously a new coin, right? We all could say all we want about Ohm, but it is a new coin. I do recognize that risk, okay? But, I mean, right now they're giving like 88%.
Yeah.
What is it, 88% stake?
I'm staking on Ohm. I won't lie.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, anytime you throw out, like, financial incentives like that, people will do what's best for them.
Yeah. Have you signed up for kind of what I think is going to be their, I guess kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Ambassador program.
No, I didn't know they were doing that actually.
I signed up, I think this weekend.
Cool.
Yeah. Look into that. It looks like it's going to be a thing, but, very early stages, obviously. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. What else were you going to say about Ohm?
Yeah, no worries. So like you start seeing these coins trying to be the one-stop shop for whatever they're aiming at. But like Wanchain trying to be the one-stop shop for like interoperable DeFi. Then another like derivative of that would be like Ohm, like where you can do lending, where you can do a plethora of financial services. Like what I think is going to eventually happen is there's not going to be one coin that dominates that use case. I think it's going to be split up across geography. Like, you know,
I agree. Like,
Southeast Asia uses Ohm.
Yeah.
Over there in Africa, but between Africa and whatever, they use Wanchain. Like, you know, I'm guessing, saying random stuff. But like that, because there's so many protocols with so much VC money behind it. Like, this stuff isn't easy, cheap, or fun to start up. You know, there's someone putting money behind it. People are working every day to get it off the ground. Communities are building. I just don't see them going away. You know, so like Ohm is just another one where I think that no one's really taking it seriously, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. I love those kind of things.
Same.
Yeah.
A lesson I've had to learn over the last couple of years. One, this is a personal question. Then we're going to jump back to the last Twitter question.
Sure.
The members, people who actually listen to my podcast, they'll understand this reference. You may not. Chad, dork, or degen for yourself?
I'd say dork.
Same. Dork. Big fan of the dorks on Steak Podcast. Shout out to the dorks. This one's for you. It's funny because today I think I realized those three kind of designations exist. And I know no one really uses dork except for me, but like the Tad, the Chad, and the degen and the dork, I think it's true. I think like you could kind of generally categorize everyone in the space right now into one of those categories, whether they like being in that category or not.
Yeah. And you can really tell by when their coin goes down, what they are, right? You know, like
that. Oh, damn. They all fired.
This, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure, guys, like honestly, like not hating on anybody, but you can tell who's in it and why they're in it based on when things go badly. Like, you know, like the dorks tend to like be more steadfast when the coin price goes down because they're not really all the way looking at price.
Yeah.
They're looking at tech. They're looking at other like fundamental things going on.
I get you. I'm 100% with you on that one. Question comes from Decred OG at Decred DCR. How high can Decred go in the crypto market cap rankings? Very simple question.
Yeah, well, it's like, what, around the 50s right now?
I don't even look, probably, though. 50, 60, maybe even 70s. But yeah, it's gone up recently, so probably 50s, you're right.
Yeah, I think it's like in the 50s. I think in the situation, a scenario where we have different reserve assets, Decred could be top 10, in an event that it doesn't, D. Craig could be top 25.
Yeah.
But then again, guys, like, don't get so enamored by the coin listing, because those things change like in the wind.
100%.
You know, if you're in the top 25, man, you're doing it.
I agree. It's more competitive than college football. Being in top 25 is a great thing. Yeah. I think that's kind of a good way to end this. You know, I really like that message. It's not all about the market cap rankings.
No.
Dub Digital, thank you for your time. What did I not ask you that I should have?
No, I think we covered a pretty wide breadth of topics. I appreciate you having me on, and thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I know the Chads, Dorks, and Degens are going to love this episode. Thank you for coming on. Where can people find you and contact you?
Yeah, so go follow me on YouTube. It's Dub Digital. And also on Twitter, it's Dub Digital, just with two U's. So you can hit me up there on Twitter, send me some coin suggestions, because I'm trying to do content daily, but with my increase in production value, it's kind of dragged on that. But I'm always looking for new content.
100%. We'll definitely have those linked in the bio as well, guys. So check that out. Stay staked, dorks.